and welcome back to your one and only source. We're your hosts.
My name is Phoebe.
And my name is Caroline. And today we are going to be recapping season one, episode two of Gossip Girl called
The Wild Brunch.
The Wild Brunch. I have to say, this is one of my all-time faves. I just feel like season one is full. It's like a treasure trove of my all-time faves. But this episode, it packs a freaking punch.
Yeah, really, literally, at times.
Oh, literally. Dan is two for two on punching the heck out of Chuck.
I think we kind of figured that out. I think that hasn't been necessary, really, either time. Mainly the first time.
Hey, if I'm not mistaken, he did punch him for trying to sexually assault his sister.
No. I know. But I am like, Dan, this is, it's just beginning to look like it's... That wasn't just out of the pure moment. That seems
he's
like
caught
maybe
the itch.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He like did it once. He was like, ow, this fucking hurts. But wait a minute. Now I'm addicted.
Mm-hmm,
you exactly. know, they're like, there are some drugs you can't just do once. And actually punching Chuck Bass is top of that freaking list.
Seems to be. There isn't a recap. So, guys, we're going to have a serious conversation about it. I'm going to have a tough time doing recaps if we are not given recaps.
Okay, it's like the first episode, so I don't think that is a precedent for every single one. I think they just probably didn't give us a recap of the pilot.
Okay, if that proves to be the case...
That is 100% the case.
Okay, I don't remember recaps ever.
Well, who's the expert here?
You.
Yeah.
Anyway... I don't have a recap for today, is what I'm saying.
You can't even just go off the... You love making me do this. Just go off the cuff.
I can't do that right now with the brain fog that I'm suffering at the moment.
Oh, my God. Oh, what do you have? Long COVID? What do you have? Long COVID and the brain fog?
Just the freaking flu. I don't know.
Like you should have gotten your flu shot.
I'm sick as a dog.
I'll have you know, I don't feel good either. And I'm... The blame is 100% on you.
I took the blame.
When?
I said I don't have a recap.
No, I said I'm putting the blame on you because I don't feel good.
For the sickness. Yeah, that's fair. Yeah. I'll take it.
So now you'd have to take the blame for two things. And you know what? I'm sure I'll think of a third as we continue on. I am sure I will.
I'm 100% sure.
Okay. You are actually seething mad at me today. And I don't know did to you.
Is anyone else
catching the vibe that Phoebe hates my guts?
I am
She's staring lasers.
I'm not bad at Caroline.
Okay, well, you can't be in a bad mood right now. You can't be in a bad mood.
That is the number. And you guys know that's actually the number one top thing to tell someone who's in a bad mood.
Well, so looks like you're snapping out of it. It's the beginning of the episode. We got to just... It's only the second episode of our podcast ever. So you can't be in a bad mood. Okay, so we start with some really sweet, calming music, sweeping views of New York, as we are used to now, and the sound of Gossip Girl's voice saying, I bet you're wondering what Gossip Girl's doing up so early. Truth is, I never went to bed. Why waste precious time dreaming when waking life is so much better? Crash! We are prepping the Upper East Side brunch. God, I am just dying to go to this brunch.
Me too. It looks so good. And I love watching people chop vegetables.
Me too. And they are chopping them fast. We are like fast paced, high intensity brunch eaters. That's the vibe they're setting. And Gossip Girl tells us like, okay, I'm sure you love a lazy Sunday, but that's actually not something we do here on the Upper East Side. Breakfast is brunch and it comes with champagne, a dress code, and 100 of our closest friends and enemies. So Chuck's dad, Bart Bass, who we're going to meet for the first time in this episode, is hosting the annual brunch for his foundation, and almost everyone in the world is invited. I mean, it's giving 3-tiered silver plates, chocolate-covered strawberries, white tablecloths, like women who are dressed as statues.
Painted.
Yeah, sorry, dressed is not the word. There's very little dressing happening. They are fully painted to be like cracked stone figures. And I just have to say that I feel like we could have amped up the makeup budget for this episode if this is what we are going for. Because, you know, the chocolate-covered strawberries, their screen time is limited. But these girls, they have scenes and scenes and scenes. And it looks kind of lame to me.
I would rather die than do that.
Well, I am... Okay, then that sucks that I have to be the bearer of bad news, because that's actually the Christmas dress code. Yep. I am hosting Christmas this year, and everyone who comes in is required to be wearing a bandage around their top and bottom, but that's it. Midriffs must be exposed and painted taupe with cracks. Your butt crack doesn't count, Phoebe.
Ew.
Oh my God, wait. Did I just expose you for having a butt crack live on air? Oh, my God. It's only the second episode I've just told everyone. I don't know. It's really weird having one.
We go to the Humphrey Loft and...
Wait, quick question. Do you like smoked salmon? You never had it?
I've never had it, but you know that I don't love the flavor of salmon to begin with.
Which is crazy. I love salmon, never had smoked salmon, never will.
Oh, why? Because of the same reasons Mary Cosby doesn't want to have it?
No, what is the reason Mary Cosby doesn't want to have it?
Well, she doesn't like the concept of parasites being in her.
Well, I guess that doesn't really do it for me, I'll be honest. The concept of parasites isn't, like, turning me on. But no, I'm, like, smoked.
You don't
raw?
Really like smoked stuff.
I don't really know, like, what's smoked.
There's that mom. Mom really doesn't. Because, like, mom bought this amazing blue cheese one time accidentally that was smoked. And it was so good, but mom hated it.
The smoky flavor of it?
Yeah.
I hate, like, smoky tequila, like mezcal. Get it away from me.
Oh, yeah, no. Because then it's, like, I'm just drinking, like, burned
cigar
water.
Cigar smoke. It's so much worse than burned water. I would drink burned water any day over mezcal tequila. And that's actually not a trendy thing of me to say.
It's like burned tequila, I guess. Quite it's literally. So... No, it's not for me either. And honestly, I don't really like tequila.
Wow. Well, it's the healthiest alcohol. Did you know that?
Not if you want to see me outside for longer than an hour, or if you want to see me like not throw up everywhere.
Tequila just makes me do things that are just quite frankly not in my nature.
I used to like tequila.
I have yet to see an Upper East Sider drinking tequila, and you know what?
Something tells me that in the months of Serena's life, we haven't seen tequila.
There's been
was
a lot
involved.
Of tequila consumption, no, for sure. So anyway, we cut to the Humphrey Loft. Which are you the one who told me last week that Mike's Mike calls this the Poverty Loft?
That's what they call Ezra's Loft.
Oh my God! Well, that's what he calls the Brooklyn Loft, and it was cracking me up. The Poverty Loft,
so
yeah,
funny.
This is definitely
that's kind of what they're trying
poverty.
To give us. But like, I'm sorry, it's not number one. I know that this is like at least like $20,000 a month, and also there's a functional garage door between Jen. And this is also Caroline and I. One time, we talked about this scene once before on the podcast, where for some reason. Oh, wait, maybe it hasn't happened yet. Did I write this down? We're not there yet, but we will be, and I'll point it out when we get there. But anyway, Dan opens the garage door between their rooms to check on Jenny, and she's like, I was fine last night when we got home. I was fine after I took a shower. I was fine after I brushed my teeth, and you brushed your teeth. I'm fine. And you can just talk, and he's like, well, you can talk to someone, all this stuff. And, then we talk about, Jenny says, well, I'm okay, but are you okay after what happened with Serena? Because here's what we find out happened. At the end of the night, Serena goes to leave the taxi and Dan does not get out after her. And
he doesn't even try. He literally, like, she goes to get out of the car. She's like, oh, well, this is me. And he literally just turns head. He's like,
It's like,
what are you waiting? The cab fare is running. What are you waiting for? Get out of my fucking car. Oh my God.
Dan's been so hyper focused.
He's like, if it was up to me, we would have walked home. Like, what are you doing driving up? I think I'm made of money. Oh my God. I know I live in Brooklyn, but I'm not made of money. But like, literally, he just looks at her and is like, doesn't move at all. And then she's like, okay. And she gets out of the car and Jenny's like, hello, like go after her. So then he's like, oh doy. And he tries to go. She slams the car door on his head.
Oh my God.
And if that wasn't enough.
Where's his bruise tomorrow morning?
Good question. He actually has a full knot on the top of his head.
He should, because I mean that he hit it hard.
Hard. And then the cab driver floors it and throws, like, Dan starts thrashing around in the cab before he then slams on the brake, slams Dan back again. Serena walks up to the window and Dan's like, get me the fuck out of here. He literally is like, hi, and does a little sheepish wave. And that is how
he's
they say goodnight.
Got, He's definitely got whiplash and a concussion after that whole rigmarole.
And potentially a broken freaking heart.
Yes, but not quite.
Not quite yet. But
and we have to get all these little moments. Like, I'm like, Blake Lively must have been paid by the second, because the amount of like extra scenes we get of her perspective of things that aren't necessarily necessary. This is an example. It's Serena alone on the... I don't believe Serena did this, by the way. I don't believe Serena Vanderwoodson was on the side of the street waving to no one.
No, I mean, I don't know, but she does love to be like, that's the Aria in her. She loves to be the girl that's like lost in a moment. You know what I mean? Like,
that's true.
She's like stuck there and she's like, maybe Melanie91 will take a picture of me as I wistfully am like, there goes my lonely boy. You know what I mean? Like, she, everything is sort of for show. She's used to being watched. So it's like, this is just, the lights just haven't gone down on her yet. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That is the one thing I think about. Blair is like, I have places to be. I'm a real New Yorker. Serena's like, I'm from Connecticut.
No one knows.
You know what I mean? What?
You're a native New Yorker.
What is that? What is that?
You know that song.
What is that song?
No one opens the door.
No, I heard you. Can you tell me
the
name of it?
For a native New Yorker.
We'll sing it.
Native New Yorker.
For a native New Yorker. That's how you did it first.
And hey, guys, by the way,
I'm a New Yorker. Here's my life.
I re-listened to Wendy Williams's rendition of that song, and low-key, I don't think she had to get voted out. She low-key, like, sound like she wasn't completely out of pitch. And
hey,
also,
what are you talking about?
All of she sang this song on The Masked Singer as a giant pair of lips, and she kept laughing and ad-libbing. She goes, and here I go. Oh,
what on earth?
And she sounded good when she did it, not like how I just sounded. And all I'm saying is I do
fishing
think...
for compliments much?
No.
What are you saying?
Well, anyway, I just think she sounded good. She sounded okay. She didn't sound good, but she sounded like people acted like she sounded completely bad.
Stevie has got her finger on the pulse of talent.
And also her laugh in that is on beat with the song.
Like,
and now I hear
it
when I hear the song.
I, unlike you, I'm not an avid Masked Singer watcher.
I'm not.
I love it for
club,
you.
Just this club.
You know who else would definitely love that show? Jenny Humphrey.
You think?
Yeah, season 1 and 2, Jenny Humphrey is recording the Masked Singer if it's on with Rufus.
She's definitely Dancing with the Stars.
I mean, she's pretending she doesn't, but she does. Like,
I guess that's true.
Think about the real. Think about the little J and her private sphere, not her public sphere. Okay. Thank you.
Right.
Anyway, what I like about the beginning of this episode, though, is it goes like Dan and Jenny debrief, and then we come out of the flashback into the Serena and Eric debrief, which is fun. And Serena is in the Ostrov Center, right, with Eric?
Yes.
And Eric is floored by the wave, and they're trying to like decode what it could mean. Serena's a little bit obsessing. And then. Jump scare. Okay, whoever directed this episode
loved the line. I loved the line when he says, no guy in the history of ever has ever hated you.
Well, you absolutely nailed that delivery.
Anyway, I'm like, Eric, I love you, Eric, but you should know that Serena doesn't need to be gassed up like that.
Serena's the type of girl that lots of men hate because she's done horrifying
things. Yeah, we actually hear that later when Nate goes, yeah. And that's the thing with Serena.
You're never going to know where you stand. Yeah,
anyway,
exactly. I think there are a lot of butthurt guys who would absolutely get in line to tell you how much they hate Serena. I don't think Nate's one of them. I don't know that we've met any of them yet.
They exist.
But we will. Oh, but we will. So,
but yeah, this is the scene I was talking about earlier.
Jump scare of Jenny Humphrey's bright red nail polish, toes crossed on her bed.
We've talked about this before, you and me, on the podcast.
I don't remember. I must have blacked it out.
We did.
We
talked about this scene, and I couldn't remember when it happened. And then when it happened, it was still just as shocking as the first time.
This is how you know it's a CW show. This would just never happen on Freeform.
It's not like, first of all, the first shot isn't even enough to give someone the benefit of the doubt. Or it's too much to even give someone the benefit of the doubt is what I mean. Like, it's not like the first shot just has her feet in it. It's not like it's a wide shot and that's how Jenny's laying on the bed. No, her feet are in focus and Dana's not.
I can basically see the camera reflection in her bright red nail polish. Like, it is, it's we are so close to those freaking
stinkers.
And then we keep,
and they keep going back to it. And it's like, well, hey, I'm good.
And then later we get the shot of three pairs of feet at once. And I was just like, who did this? Who is the foot fetish here? You know what I mean? Anyway, it's just horrible. But so Dan is now like pacing around, freaking out. He's ruined his lifelong dream of being with.
And this is why he and Serena are perfect for each other. Because he's walking around this room.
They're doing the same exact thing.
He's walking around this room like, I'm the guy. I'm the guy who only gets one shot with a girl like that. And it's just like, Dan, you think you are, number one, so much more interesting than you are.
Oh,
and number
for
two,
sure. It's what makes his...
Like, you are... you bother the fuck out of me.
It makes his final Gossip Girl thing of this episode so funny to think that, like, because he just does think he's so much more interesting. And the last Gossip Girl line is like, and who's this boy with Serena? His name is, oh, who cares? I'm like, I just know Dan was like,
who cares about
little old me? I'm just from Brooklyn, New York. Anyway.
Just like, I wonder if he knows drama from back in the day.
I don't think drama hasn't mentioned him, so I don't think so. Anyway, Dan's decided he's got nothing to freaking lose. He, not even his last shred of dignity. He's going to go talk to Serena. He's going to apologize for the wave. He's going to tell her how much he likes her. And he goes, and I'm going to hope for a second shot. No, I'm going to get a second shot. And Jenny goes, yeah, you are.
I knew you. I knew you were going to say that.
Little Jay, just like some of her line deliveries.
Her crazy, her and Lucas. Crazy. I'm like, this is borderline a Disney Channel show when it's you two on the
screen. Yeah, yeah. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, you are.
Yeah, you are.
Like, sorry. That's like if Megan from Drake and Josh was, I almost said pregnant, was pleasant.
Whoa.
Was pleasant. And Drake was like, I'm going to go score a date with this girl. Or Josh was like, I'm going to go score a date with this girl. That's how Megan. That's,
yeah, you are.
That's
oh,
how
you're
they
so
would,
right.
That's how they would encourage a character like that to say the
Miranda
line.
Cosgrove, funniest kid in America.
She really
Never
was.
Never forget she allegedly won that contest. You know
Funniest
that, right?
Kid in America is a contest?
It was a contest and she won it. And that's how she got what she got. Yes.
And that's how she got what she got.
Is that not the... Well, how else? Is that not the craziest thing
no,
you've
but I'm
ever
like,
heard?
What did she get? School of Rock?
Everything she
role?
Ever wanted. She got Megan on Drake and Josh. She got...
Like,
Carly. She got the Disney
here's
residuals.
What
like, her,
I, here's what I
an
will,
entire
here's what
show
say.
About her?
Here's what I'll say.
What did she get?
Miranda Cosgrove was the funniest kid in America.
Relentlessly made fun of online? Like,
until she turned into 13. Until she turned into 13. Until
well,
she turned
and that's
13.
Famously how it goes.
Because
kids become
I,
adolescents
Carly,
and they're like, if somebody looks at me or hears me talk, I'm going to kill myself.
Carly
like, that's
Shay is not... She's
funny
not the
all?
Laugh riot of the show.
No, she's not. It's Spencer.
She's giving
McCurdy.
Like, she's giving Serena, like, Aria, like, oh, I'm so goofy.
She is the boring
like,
girl.
Put
she's
a hat
like,
on my
random
head.
Dancing. She, like, does the wave, and it's like, what's random about that? You know, like,
some,
I don't know.
Some people here happen to take the wave really seriously.
What, I can actually do the wave? I'm sorry, that video of you is so funny. I have to post it now. I just
no,
am thinking about
no,
it again.
No,
if you
got, no.
Phoebe, why? Phoebe, you're not allowed to get embarrassed about things from when you were, like, 5 years old.
Yes,
you're literally
yes,
turning
you.
25. You have to get over it.
Oh my God,
get, no, you're
up.
Not. Get over
why would you,
it.
Why the
posted,
fuck would you bring that up?
I posted way worse stuff about you. Okay? And I will do it again. I'm posting it. Phoebe in a little fedora and a three-piece suit. What? I can actually do the wave. Filmed on a digital camera. So good. Okay. Anyway. Where are
we?
Were
go to the,
we
go back to the Ostroff Center and Serena goes, Eric... I don't even know why we're talking about this. The last thing I need in my life right now is a guy.
But he was so smart and funny
and
nice. She says nice in a really, really weird way. And then she stops and she goes, Blair was so mean to me last night. I don't even know why, but we'll talk it out like we always do. Actually, I'm going to go talk to her now. And I'm like, hey, Serena.
I'm a little bit like, Serena, like we haven't. There's not even like a part of you that's afraid that somehow she found out. Like,
no.
if I'm you, Serena, I
oh
am
God,
always
thinking
Blair
about.
Knows.
It is in the back of my head every time
all
I'm with
time.
Her. I'm reading into every
and
single.
And that is a skill that Serena
tiny
has.
Tiny movement on her face.
She
doesn't
have that
think,
sensitivity chip.
No, she and Brad Pitt are missing the same sensitivity chip. Okay,
and
Mona Vanderwall
and Maya Saint-Germain.
Oh, I thought it was Mona for a second.
No, it would have been
yeah,
more
Serena
topical
just, like,
had it been Mona.
True. Serena just flits in and out of people's life, causing damage, and then is
and
like,
then she's
oh, was that me? Impossible. And walks
she's
away.
She's literally
like,
severed.
She's, yeah, she is. She does something terrible. And then she's like, what just happened? Like, she doesn't remember it at all. So then we go to Blair after Serena's saying she's going to go talk to Blair.
Serena says, I'm going to go talk to Blair. And we immediately hear Blair say, Serena better know better than to show her face around here.
Serena had better just stay away is what we hear. As she reaches for a note from her mother that says, went to Paris, brunch at 2, wear pearls. Okay, Ellie.
Me with my kid when I'm not in Paris and we're not going to brunch. Just like leaving little notes like that.
We're pearls. This is so funny because Dorota's like bringing the girls heaping plates of waffles. We're getting ready for brunch, by the way. This does not seem very Upper East Side of you.
They're not
going
to eat there. They don't want to eat in front of all the guys.
Oh, I guess that's true. The girls are like, I fucking love sleeping over at Blair's house. And Blair's like, of course you do.
And you know there are those kinds of waffles. Caroline, do you remember the Chartier's waffles?
Well, of course, the gigantic Belgian waffles.
Those were actually, because like I'm not typically a waffle person. Actually, like I need waffles stat.
Holy, okay, typically, well, I know where you can get some. Poverty Loft in Brooklyn.
I'm not typically a waffle girl. I like if someone asked you if I was waffles or pancakes, one of the most boring questions you can be asked, by the way. Don't ask people that. I would say okay. I would say pancakes.
And don't, especially don't ask me that. If you ask me that, I will look at your face. I will say, ugh. I'll do like a scoff and then I'll turn on my heel and walk away. He'll never see me again. Oh my God, do I look like I eat cobs?
So and don't answer that.
And then actually don't answer that. And if I hear you even mutter under your breath, I'll kill you. Yeah.
Kill you.
Sure I will. I have a waffle iron. I just don't eat waffles. I use it as a whip.
A whip? Well, guys, in case you guys are wondering, I am a pancake person. However, right now that I'm thinking, I'm picturing Andorota's plate, the kind of waffles that we used to get from Chartier's. And in that moment,
we used to go to brunch ourselves. We actually have a long sorted past with brunch. It was actually the worst thing in the world.
We hated it.
We were like having a sleepover or something. And then your mom texted you and was like, by the way, brunch at 10:30. Oh!
Here's what I like. Well, first of all, I'm a little bit confused.
First world problems as fuck, by
what time this brunch is happening, because Gossip Girl says 2 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
Then later we hear it's
says,
barely noon.
Barely noon. Okay, thank you.
And then Nate gets up at 10:30. So I'm like, I know you weren't waiting for hours and hours for Serena if brunch was before noon.
Yeah, no, I'm very... And also, so Serena, confused. How did we get all over the damn place? And Lily, you too.
Portals.
We'll talk
portals.
About portals. I didn't realize there are portals in every single teen drama, but there have to be. So Blair is hilarious here. She goes, I wonder if Nate remembered brunch. It would be so wrong for me to show up without my boyfriend, whom I love and whom loves me.
Blair, I firmly believe Blair would be talking like this even if it was an audience of one.
I don't think
nobody
she
there.
Realizes Cottie and Iz are there.
No, not at all.
She's totally in her own little world. She calls Nate on her orange Envy. Oh my God, I wanted an Envy phone so bad.
It kind of looks so like the phone bad. I had, except mine slid. Mine didn't flip.
Bragging again. So that's like the opposite. It's like a chocolate.
Yeah, but it was purple. Flowers.
That's like a sidekick. Sidekick! So good. Love Sky High. Okay, anyway. So she calls Nate. Nate is so hungover at Chuck's. Poker chips and martini glasses all around. Blair reminds him about brunch at the Palace in the hotel they are currently in, by the way.
I'm like, what's the stress here?
I'm like, all you gotta do is go down the fucking elevator. Like, you'll be okay, homie. And then Chuck, we see waking up again in a pile of feet. It's like the first 10 minutes of the episode, and I've seen 4 pairs of naked Tootsies. I'm out
like
on
it.
That.
I don't
this
like
piggy
it.
Went to market. This piggy went to the
and
Upper
also,
East Side.
Like,
I'm over it.
Nate, I don't like the implication that you were in the room while this was happening.
No, and I always just like hate the idea also of like the pass around. Like, I'm like, I don't want to believe that Nate would ever partake in something so sinister.
No, me either.
You know what I mean? Anyway, I do love how Chuck calls Nate Nathaniel, by the way. I think it's just a good little thing. Oh, okay, so... Well, I don't know. I guess I should wait to announce this. Never mind. Doing something fun with Gilmore to Say, FYI. And there's a big Chuck discussion that I think we'll have to get into more, but we can't until whatever the surprise is right out there. Anyway, Chuck's got his black eye still, of course. He claps. Ladies.
He's in little kid pajamas, though.
He is always giving little kid on Christmas morning, except for little kid Spawn of Satan vibes. You know what I mean? Like, if that little kid was the spawn of Satan.
He is literally in like candy cane silk pajamas.
Yes. And he always kind of is in like that kind of an outfit. Yeah, like, where's the personal style, my guy? Well, his scarf, of course. So first he offers the women to Nate. And Nate's like, well, can you bring coffee and water? And at first I was like, is this a fucking joke? And then I realized the two women work at the hotel. So Chuck will be reporting to his father about how committed they are to the hospitality industry, of course.
Well, yes. Well, yes. And
so Nate comments on Chuck's black eye. He's like, listen, Chuck, you never mess with a guy's
says
sister.
That kid popped you really good. That kid
that
popped
kid
pretty
is
good.
Funny. I'm also like, well, how are you supposed to just avoid every single person who has a brother? You know, I mean, don't do what Chuck did to literally anybody on earth, but Nate being like, never mess with a guy's sister. Like, you guys don't even know who this fucking dude is, so yeah. That's kind of a funny line.
And that's what Chuck says. He's like, I didn't fucking know him. By the way, while they're having this conversation, Chuck is pouring what I can only hope is still water Pellegrino, not fizzy Pellegrino, into a blender.
The same thing, crazy combination.
Drops of essential oils. We don't even see him put spinach or fruit in there, but then suddenly he's making a green smoothie.
Well, he has green powder that he's putting
in. Oh, well,
it
kind of looks like a juicer, too, honestly.
It's a very weird.
Because it has like a little spout.
And then he's like a dropper. It's like, I don't want to know what's going on there. Anyway, Chuck's like, well, I'm going to fucking kill him, actually. And Nate goes, oh, because you kill people now? What are you going to do? Strangle him with your scarf? And I love that we're making fun of Chuck's scarf episode 2. They
Me
pretty
too.
Much set the precedent right away. This is going to be, he's going to be the laughing stock of the Upper East Side with this. And Chuck says, don't mock the scarf, Nathaniel. It's my signature.
And he says, basically they get to a point where Chuck says, better a black eye than a broken heart. And then Nate says, what? I didn't even say anything about Serena.
Oh my God, Nate, you are just constantly blowing your cover like it's fucking exhausting. So Dan, by the way, I need to be keeping a tally on how many brown jackets he owns because he is now changing into yet another
also, like, sorry,
brown jacket
popped
collar.
Also, like, sorry, we have to stop with the popped collar.
Oh my God.
I hate.
Brown jacket, popped collar, V-neck, striped V-neck. And as he's walking out, he's like, by the way, Jenny, like, if you need to talk to somebody about Chuck, it's not me. Like, let me know, which is actually very
really
sweet. Until Jenny's like, actually, yeah, I do need to talk to somebody. Blair Waldorf. So she is like following him out. And on the way out, they pass Rufus, who was coming home and making waffles. That's me.
Making waffles.
Donkey from Shrek, of course.
And he's like, wait, I want to hear about your nights. And they're like, yeah, I'm good. Also, by the way, he's a leather rope choker that is tied in the front.
He looks absurd in this episode. Absurd.
Absurd.
Shut up and drive, drive, drive.
That's the theme. That should have been, I mean, I know no one's shutting up and no one's driving in this episode, but that is the theme song of the episode.
Break, screeching, crash. I want to say we are 2 for 2 on episodes with Dan punching somebody, namely Chuck. We're also 2 for 2 on Rihanna playing in the episode. So like,
yeah, it's
hello.
Can we go 3 for 3?
Hello. So Nate calls the palace lobby and asks what room the Vanderwoodsons are in while Serena's calling Blair because she's going to go to her house. Blair is actually deleting all of Serena's calls. So this is going to be a disaster. And we get another Gossip Girl quote. She says, looks like the table's all set. As soon as the guests arrive, we can start dishing. Here's what's on the menu. And we get this like super quick flash through of all our main characters' faces and like a little bit of a preview of what's to come.
That was definitely
ending with a car crash sound.
The teaser that would play right after episodes of TV on the CW.
I mean, epic. Epic teaser. I'm hooked. I'm totally freaking hooked.
So we go to Serena.
I'm waiting for something good.
When did your heart go missing by Rooney?
When and did your heart go missing? When did your heart go missing?
Rooney, this isn't the first time Rooney will be mentioned, and it's not the last time. Well, it is the first time, but it's not the last time.
Is
when
was it mentioned last?
But it is. It's like a poster in Dan's room. They go to a Rooney concert at some point. I'm like, this band was really hoping Gossip Girl would sign their check to the top.
And did it not for a little bit?
I mean, maybe.
I feel like this song was everywhere.
But because of the show, and then I think they went nowhere.
Going nowhere fast.
But they were really putting all their eggs... And you know, unfortunately, you can't all be the Killers in an episode of the OC.
No, it's just the truth. You can't. And you can't be the Pierces in an episode of the Gossip Girl either. Of the Gossip Girl. Serena's looking for her shoes. Her Michelle Paris. Her bright green pumps, which I just want to say, I know like she pronounced it Michelle Perry, and I'm sure that she's right. But the subtitle says Michelle Perry, and I'm like, okay, I see through this. But Serena's just like pissed. She hasn't unpacked. She refuses to do that because they're living Lily's in a freaking pissed. Hotel, mom. Yeah, but yeah. Serena's pissed too. They're both pissed.
Yes, but Lily comes in and is like, maybe if you fucking unpacked, you wouldn't have to ask me where every article of your clothing was.
And Serena's like, maybe if you could just be fine with the color of our walls at home, we wouldn't be living in a fucking hotel, mom.
And I am confused. Like, okay, were they living here before she left? Because the concierge says at one point,
yeah,
one time she walked out the door and didn't come back for 6 months.
Well, and I'm also like, well, she famously was at boarding school for an entire year too, so she's actually left and not come back.
Sorry, guys, I'm in full Kat Cohen mode this episode. Like, I just, I'm portable. I'm on the go right now. Okay. By that, I mean I'm about to open a Diet Coke, but I had to move my computer to do so.
Oh, okay. So Serena's like, Mom, I said I go to this brunch. What more do you want from me? And Lily's just so bothered. She's like, you're my party girl. What has gotten into you? This is just not like you. To which Serena replies, maybe it is like me. Maybe you don't know what I'm really like. And I just, this is where Lily Vanderwoodson, although Serena may be an Aria, Lily is certainly not an Ella. Because Lily, her eyes almost roll out of her goddamn head. She goes, oh okay, tell me. What do you like? It's just like she's so over Serena's bullshit, and I love it. Where Ella would be like, "Oh my god, you think I don't even know you? Sit. Write me a quick diary entry, and let's go through it together." That's how Ella. Where did you go just now? You know.
Yeah, Lily is like a combo of Vivi and actually, she's a combo of everybody but Ella.
Yes, true.
She's a combo of Ashley, Vivi, and even Pam.
Yeah, really just not even a drop of Ella in there. And so then Lily asks about
maybe there was at one point in her life.
Perhaps. You're right. That's true. But even then, so much cooler than Ella. And she realized,
wait, this lifestyle is not sustainable.
This is not for me. Lily asks about the concert, and Serena's like, well, we never got there. We went to the Kiss on the Lips party, and I had this fight with Blair, blah, 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 blah. And she goes, Serena, the more you hide yourself away, the more people think you have something to hide. And Serena goes, coming from someone who's keeping my brother in an institution, hey, Serena, he tried to kill himself. It's the safest place for him. What if he was here, he'd be going to this brunch too. And you've made it clear it's not really a great place if you're like having a tough time mentally, you know, right. Like
exactly.
You'd rather jump out of this window than go. So why the fuck do you think Eric would be better off either here unsupervised and unstable or like going to these kind of events that you yourself hate?
I'm hate
for Lily Vanderwoodson putting Eric in an institution and being a little bit private about it will never make sense to me.
I know. I'm with you 100%. Serena leaves the palace and Dan arrives at the palace. And in the palace lobby, Dan has to approach the same guy as yesterday, which is when he found Serena's phone last episode and was like, he thought he was playing Prince Charming, but he forgot he was in his like weird fucking, he forgot he smelled like Brooklyn, and so
he forgot we could smell and see the sheen of the Brooklyn water on him. This guy's name is Dexter, and Dan is like still trying to be on his Prince Charming shit, and he's like, hey, is Serena around? And Dexter's like, well, you can wait for her. And he goes, she probably won't be that long, right? Hey, what is it with guys thinking that, like, everybody should know where everyone's going, how long they're going to be, shut up? And that's where we get that line where he's like, well, one time she went out and didn't come back for 6 months, but you can sit. So he does. And then Nate is taking the elevator, runs into Lily, and why is he low-key in a tux? Like, is he in a tux later? I just feel like this brunch doesn't call for a tux. No, he was in the tux
when he woke up, but he didn't get dressed to go see Serena, which I think is weird. But I guess he doesn't live here. But then whose clothes does he wear to the brunch?
Well, I guess we see him and Chuck and him leave.
Okay, yeah.
So he asks if Serena's there. He's also like, how long is she going to be? Lily Vanderwoodson better keep her fucking mouth shut. She goes, oh, Serena loves you. I think she's always had a little crush on you. Of course, you and Blair are the perfect couple. Like, that's kind of a strange thing to say to a child as an adult.
Very, very weird.
You know? And so Nate is also going to wait in line.
And Lily sees
Dan
and says, I had a feeling you'd be back. And she says it almost with like a happy smile.
Okay.
And then
I thought
Dan
the exact same thing.
Have a conversation. And he's like, I hope you had a pleasant 21 hours without seeing me. And she goes, I was. Until now.
I felt the same way. I was like, okay, Lily, what's with like this little knowing grin you're giving Dan? Like, oh, it's kind of tickling my fancy to see you in the palace lobby. Like, she kind of like seems like she's getting a kick out of it almost. And then she's like, you disgust me. Like, what is this? Like,
yeah,
switch up.
Weird.
It's very weird.
And then the opposite happens, I feel like, at their conversation later.
Agree. And then we get good guy Nate. Nate looks at him like he's going to square up. And then he's just like, hey, man. And that's just like so Nate Archibald to me.
Yeah.
gonna have a tough moment. And then he's like, what's up, dude? So Serena gets to Blair's. I think this is the first shot we really get of the Waldorf entryway. And oh my God, is it stunning? The black and white checkered floor, like so gorgeous. We've got this curved, what would you call this? Like a curved staircase coming in. And Blair descends the steps in like essentially lingerie, heels. Like she just looks so fabulous. And I just have to say, like, I know I'm an anti-Serena biatch, but, like, this scene reads as crazy to me. You showed up here. I know you tried to call her. You tried to get in touch with her, but you didn't. You know Blair is, like, a busy woman. You brought two bone-dry cats.
Hey, Serena,
and Audrey.
You know this brunch is happening later.
Yes,
also,
exactly.
Hey, Blair, what fucking time are you and Iz and all them up earlier?
I know,
what
5
time is it that Serena thought
them working?
That... What time is it that Serena thought she could come over with pastries and a movie and you guys would have time before brunch to do all of this?
I know. Exactly. So Serena's like, come on, Blair. Like, it's our tradition. Coffee, croissants, and breakfast at Tiffany's. It's our Sunday tradition. And Blair's like, well, I have new traditions now. And I just want to say, hey, Serena, you kind of broke tradition when you left for a year and didn't tell anybody. Like, why would you assume this is still the Sunday tradition if you guys haven't spoken about it?
Also, this doesn't make sense to me when Serena says, it can't be a tradition if it's new. It's like, hey, new since you left 6 months ago.
A year ago.
There have been like 24 Sundays since then.
That's exactly what I'm saying. Like, what do you mean? Like, you think this is still the tradition? Like, have you been showing up every Sunday and no one's just been letting you in? Like, I didn't realize. And Serena, like, gets pissed off because Blair is fully giving her the silent treatment. And again, like, I'm like, at this point, it still hasn't even popped in your head that maybe she knows something you don't want her to know, Serena. Like, that's still unfathomable to you. Serena gets pissed off. She breaks the silence. She goes, look, I'm really making an effort here. I thought everything was good between us. And we get this amazing line, an amazing line read from Blair. She goes, it was, until I found out you had sex with my boyfriend. Oh,
so
zing,
good.
Zing, zing, zing. It's so good. And Leighton Meester has so many good line reads in this episode.
And like, also, she kind of does the parts of Ariana's performance of Glinda that made it so good. Leighton Meester is able to do with Blair, like the little micro expressions
exactly.
that she does, especially in the scene. Like, I love Blake Lively, but I do feel like she's kind of one note in the scene of just like gasping and looking around, whereas Blair is like feeling 100 different emotions at once.
Oh my God, you can just see her like running the emotional gamut on her face. She is outacting. I mean, Leighton Meester pretty consistently outacts everyone she's on screen with, I feel. Like, it's just so good. So Serena is completely dumbfounded. She's like,
Blair,
how did you find that out?
I don't know what to
like,
say.
That was not the thing to say. That was not. Literally, her first thing she says is, how did you find out? That's crazy. It's the first thing you say is, I'm so fucking sorry. And then you do all that. Not, who told you? You know what I mean? Like,
and then
it's like classic when like, I remember I had moments like this in high school where like,
oh, where you slept with your best friend's boyfriend?
No, bitch. Where I was Blair and someone slept with my... I'm just kidding. But, like, where I would find something out and I'd be like, bitch, I caught you. Like, don't try to get out of this. I fucking caught you.
Ho, 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 road warriors. The holidays are almost here, and if you still have some names on your nice list, don't freak. Uncommon Goods makes your holiday shopping stress-free and filled with joy. There are literally thousands of one-of-a-kind gifts, so you can be sure your gifts will make the special people in your life so happy. Uncommon Goods looks for products that are high quality, unique, and often handmade in the U.S. They highlight independent artists and small businesses, so your gifts will always feel personal and never rushed or last minute. Like this handmade glass Santa figurine I found, crafted by Tony Chirico. This is the perfect gift to add to my mom's Santa collection. So don't wait. Make this holiday the year you give something truly unforgettable. To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/prettylittlepodcast. That's uncommongoods.com/prettylittlepodcast for 15% off. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Uncommon Goods, we're all out of the ordinary.
And instead of that person immediately folding and being like, whatever, they suddenly feel like they have a right to be mad at anybody for anything. And they're like, well, who told you? I'm so mad at them now. I'm like, actually, girlfriend get behind me, you don't get to be mad at her because there would never be anything to tell me. They did the right thing. You would want her to tell you, bitch. You know what I'm saying? Like, it just always baffled me. Oh, my God. People are so inept socially.
And then Serena is like, I don't know what to say. And Blair says, don't bother saying anything at all. And then they stand up and Blair says, I always knew you were a whore, but I never took you for a liar. And I'm like, really?
Serena rolls her eyes and I'm like,
I knew both of these things about her pretty quickly.
I found them out from the get-go. I don't know how. I guess Serena just always like owned her bullshit before. She was like, yeah, that's me, party girl Serena, like whatever. But Serena rolls her eyes and I'm just like, there's no eye roll there. There's actually no opportunity for an eye roll there, girlfriend. So we get another, Blair goes,
but you do
there's no way
see...
to fix this. Stay away. You're done here.
Yeah, ooh! So good. But you do see something click in Serena where she's also now done playing nice. It clicked for
like,
Blair
hey,
the episode before, but then once we see Serena and Blair talk the next time that they have an actual interaction with each other,
yeah,
we're getting to Serena that we haven't seen yet, but it does seem everybody else is kind of aware of.
Yeah, yeah, true. And also, I feel like Blair is low-key getting, like, the sick satisfaction out of this because now it's, like,
she has
okay,
the higher ground.
Yeah,
she's decided
back.
She's okay with it. Right. Okay with Nate.
Right. You're back. I thought my, like, social standing was being threatened. I thought my boyfriend was threatened. And now I have all the chips. Like, I am in the best possible position. Or at least that's how she has to, like, look at it to protect herself from how bad that actually fucking hurts. So Jenny now appears at Blair's house uninvited. Before Blair, I'm like, what is, who is letting all
she's
these people
she's probably
in
the middle.
In?
Oh my God, imagine. This is actually the worst. Like, imagine she fully was about to take her, like, robe off and everything, get in the shower, and she cut, like, and then
and
it's happened
Jay
twice now.
Little Jay drapes in. Little Jay's like, Blair?
Imagine it happened with Serena, and then she's to come down, and then it happens with Jenny, and she's to come down.
And look at what she's wearing. I mean, it takes a minute to get in. This
right,
outfit.
Exactly.
Like, oh
exactly.
My God. So Blair comes out. What do you want? Jenny's actually here just to return Blair's calligraphy materials. I'm like, of course Blair had calligraphy materials and that's what she supplied Jenny with. But I'm sorry, why is this kind of sweet? Because last episode, Jenny's like, oh yeah, some girl in my calligraphy class, my art class, said that saw my calligraphy and thought it was really good and said that if I address all the envelopes, I could have one. Why is it kind of cute that Blair's like in that class and like noticed Jenny's calligraphy and was like, hey, like why? I don't know why that kind of like warms my heart.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Am I grasping at straws here?
No. But you do love to dig deep with Blair and find the things that you could love about her.
Some of us don't have to dig that deep to
that
find
was
things to love
deep.
About Blair. No, no, it wasn't. I just am noticing things I never noticed. So then Blair's like, oh, you want to know what Chuck Bass is saying about you. And we do get a line here that that sort of like admits, it's like the show admitting that they know what happened last episode was like, not okay. You know what I mean? Because that is the thing, is it's like almost the way that we had to do with Ezra, where it's like, okay, well, you kind of have to get on board with Ezra because if you don't, you're going to have a very unfulfilling watch. You kind of have to like start thinking of like episode one Chuck as like kind of a different person, or you're just never going to like
just
be
episode
able to get
one.
There. Well, mostly, I mean, I don't. No, he's obviously a bad, like, does a lot of bad things. But, like, in terms of, like for me, it's, like, unforgivable to, like, sexually assault somebody.
Yeah.
And that's not really happening, like, in the rest of the show.
I guess that's true.
So it's, like, the things that he does are still bad, but it's, like, it's not, like, him trying to sexually assault two people in one episode. And we know, like, because the writer said he was supposed to be all bad, and then we had to, like, figure out. You have to, like, find a way to root for him and Blair, you know,
right,
just like
right,
you
right,
have
right.
to find a way to root for Arya and Ezra, or you feel like you do.
Yeah.
Anyway,
so
what Blair says though is that Chuck likes to brag about his conquests, not his victims.
So not much word on the street about little Jay. They go up. Blair decides that she's gonna let Jenny help her get ready for brunch, and they start walking up the stairs. And Jenny says, nice flowers. And Blair says, they're hydrangeas.
They're hydrangeas. I love that response. It's so funny.
Because it's almost implying to little Jay, sweet little Jay, who probably doesn't really even know
what
hydrangeas
no
are.
Yeah.
that hydrangeas aren't flowers.
Well, I know it is, like, because it's not like they're Blair's favorite flower. We know she loves a
peony. And also there are other flowers in the bouquet. It's not like we see just a bouquet of just hydrangeas.
It's like, well, one thing I will say is that, so there are clover hydrangeas, which are green, and those are like the rarest ones and they're the most expensive ones. So I'm like, it could have been a little bit of like, I'm sure you didn't even realize those were hydrangeas.
Wait, those are not the prettiest hydrangeas.
I agree. I think blue ones are the prettiest.
Yeah.
But the green ones are like the rarest.
I used to think green ones turned into the other ones.
Like I used to too. If you go to Trader Joe's and they have clover hydrangeas, you'll notice they put like two stalks of them in the thing and it'll be like, you know, $8 or $10 or something. Whereas like if you want blue or white hydrangeas, they'll like stuff it and it'll be like $7 or something. They're a lot more expensive. And I think it's almost like one of those things where it's like, sometimes the more understated things are like the wealthy people like those the most. And that's actually like signaling, you know what I mean? Where it's like, even though to me, I'm like, those look like they're like not ripe. You know what I mean? But like, but to those who know, it's almost like a status symbol. And right. So I feel like that's what's happening here. Like she's been sizing Jenny up. She's like, I can shape you. I can train you. Those are hydrangeas, but you didn't know. And I don't know. It's an interesting line. It really is. And there are so many ways you could look at it, but it's a hilarious response. I would love to talk to a writer and be like,
what did you mean by that?
Because it like is interesting to me. Okay, Lily's so fucking funny. Lily coming out of this cab, putting on massive, almost like clout goggle-ish glasses with her ivory outfit, meeting Rufus yet again. And she goes, just coffee. I'm not staying long. I'd like to get out of here before somebody throws me down and tattoos me. I'm sorry, that's so fucking especially because she has a bunch of tattoos.
That's Pam Fields with the quip of Vivi Hastings.
Yes, it is. With like the style of Ashley Merritt. Maybe that's what it is. It's like the
pieces of each of them.
Yeah. It's just so, and it's also funny because it's like, you know, she's like secretly loving that she has excuses to come to Brooklyn and like revisit who she was. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, oh, I'm almost anonymous here. Like, you know what I mean? I feel like she like has that vibe. Like she's always got a little smirk.
Yeah.
And Rufus she says, always it's has Brooklyn, a... Lil, not the Warped Tour, which is also funny. Did you ever go to the Warped Tour? I was just talking to someone, I think Amber, about this.
Amber?
Amber did not go. I must have been Amber who I was talking about. Amber was like, I don't know. I was talking to somebody about the Warped Tour and I was like, it was always kind of like the edgy kids went and I was like, God, I want to go, but I'm so terrified because there was like moshing and like smoking cigarettes and beat up Converse. And I was like, they'll be able to sniff me as an outsider from a mile away. Also, can we talk about how ridiculous Rufus looks?
Yeah, he's in that freaking choker again.
Yes. Okay, thank you for noticing the necklaces. I wrote some weird necklaces. He's wearing a brown pinstriped suit coat with purple lining, and it's cuffed so you can see the bright part. It's like he thinks he's Prince. And then a blue plaid shirt. And then I'm like, you look... And his hair...
Ridiculous.
I'm sorry. He looks ridiculous. I can't.
And they start talking about fate. Well, he remembers Lily's coffee order, which I'm like...
Okay,
I think if I'm reconnecting with someone after 20 years, I'm not going to confidently say to the barista what I think their coffee order is.
Why is that like what's hot about Rufus though for Lily? You know what I mean? Where it's like
it is. But I think I would have said it before I was actively speaking to the barista.
Maybe, but it's like, okay, high risk, high reward. You know, I feel like Rufus is all about that. Like he's like, if it doesn't go well, it's like, Lil, you've changed. And like, if it does go well, it's like, I know you better than you know yourself, you know?
Yes.
I don't know. It's like, I just have to say, like, Rufus and Lily, they were meant to be together. And you can just tell.
Do they end up together? Don't say that, because that's something special for people to find out, probably.
Well, for, like you? Do they end up together? Don't answer that. It's something special for people to find out.
I just maybe like spoiled a major thing about the show in the first episode. And then we were like, but there's so many little things to follow that doesn't feel like that big of a spoiler.
There really are.
So I'm trying to do a better job of not spoiling the things that are fun for people to not have spoiled.
I've watched this thing 15 times. There are things that still like could be spoiled for me that I still like.
That's never happened to me.
True. That is so unlike you. There, what I will say is that it is really fun watching it with this level of intensity because, like, there are just so many things that I did not really pick up on other times. But it's funny because you and I are picking up all the same things. Like, we are watching, we have fully figured out how to watch teen dramas the exact same way. We've got it done with science. So, but what's funny is that Lily has called him for coffee. Lily initiated this meeting because there is, quote, an emergency. The emergency is just Dan and Serena going on a date.
Yeah.
She's like, because what if we have a go at it again, Rufus? Like, that's like secretly what she's thinking. She's like, we can't possibly be dating and have our children as siblings and dating. Anyway.
They mentioned
but fate. She's just funny.
They mentioned fate and how she's like, something bad brought us together. And he's like, but fate nonetheless.
Rufus is like, you're falling for me again. And Lily goes, yeah, it's the low income tax bracket, the bad V-neck t-shirts, awful jokes. I don't know why your wife left you. Whoa. And he goes, well, she's got better taste than you. Like, they just, it's so good. Their banter is so good.
It's perfect.
But I'm sorry. I feel like they wanted to try and give us Lily and Rufus level banter with Serena and Dan. And sorry, never going to happen.
They don't have it.
Sorry, they don't got it. They don't got it like that. Sorry. Lily and Rufus got it like that. And I don't even like Rufus, but I can admit when I've been bested. Okay.
And Rufus is like, oh my gosh, you're seeing someone. Is he married? That's kind of your type.
Your type. Jesus, my God. He's not letting her get a word in without another jab. And she goes, not really. What I'm worried about is Serena. Dan is a distraction. And Rufus goes, Dan is probably exactly what Serena needs. Which that might be true, but still. Enough of you two. I'm exhausted by you already. So Dan is now finally leaving the palace. He's decided he's over waiting for Serena.
It was giving to me that Nate and him were like, let's go get some fresh fucking air.
They're both standing
at the gate.
Interesting, because it was giving to me that Nate was like, you know, I'm just going to go. And he left Dan in there and came out here to wait where Dan couldn't see him anymore because it like got awkward waiting there together. And now Dan was like, okay, fine, I'm going to go too. And comes out and finds that Nate is actually still waiting there for Serena, just not in there.
I like that better.
It could be either.
I thought they were just out there.
Because they have like an awkward moment there. And then Nate's like, okay, so like what? Are you guys like,
well, no, Dan says, what were you doing here? Why were you coming here to talk to Serena about?
Nate has a million more reasons to talk to Serena than Nate
can't come up with one. He says, I was in the neighborhood. So you decided to wait for hours for this girl because you were, quote, in the neighborhood.
Nate, why didn't you just, like, go back to Chuck's suite?
Yeah.
And just, then, like, wait up there.
For sure. Well, maybe Chuck's up there doing some things, before some pre-brunch activities he doesn't want to be a part of. And there's a sock on the door. And Dan...
Not that Chuck gives a fuck. He loves an audience.
Nate asks Dan the same thing. And Dan says, yeah, I was nowhere near the neighborhood. And that's when Nate is like, so what's going on with you two? Are you guys like dating? What the hell? And Dan's like, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know.
Serena.
He says it in like a chill way at first, and then he has like an existential crisis as he really examines.
Every time he says it, it gets
because
more
you
want
one
like,
date, you can relax.
Yes, and Nate says that's where we get her. Well, that's Serena. With her, you'll never know. And then Chuck comes out looking ridiculous in a lime cardigan and a white polo pop collar.
I've worn that before.
The lime card. Okay, then Chuck comes out in an outfit that perfectly matches what Phoebe's wearing as we speak, you guys.
Not a popped collar, but I did one time. I had this, I guess it was maybe more of a mint green cardigan with navy whales on it. And I wore that with a Vineyard Vines white polo.
Okay, named brand dropping like crazy. I didn't notice any whales on his, so I guess you guys aren't complete and total twins.
No, but the color scheme's the same, which I think is kind of what you were roasting. And also he's wearing black Wayfarers, which I think at the time were the sunglasses I opted for. Those or I had the, for my confirmation, I got a pair of Ray-Ban Clubmasters, which were way too small for my face, famously, but I insisted on wearing them.
Those are the godliest gift you can get after your confirmation.
Yes, to blind myself from the holiness that follows me everywhere.
God, mom was just so freaking pissed at me at my confirmation.
Why?
Because my name I chose.
What did you choose?
Have we never talked about this?
I don't think
so. I just kind of like, And like no one come for me, but like I just kind of always like knew from the get-go that Catholicism wasn't really my bag, and I didn't really take it super seriously. And I'm not shitting on Christianity. I'm just, but Catholicism, not my thing, which was further solidified by again a priest at the Vatican telling me to go to hell. But famously, I'm a hellion, as confirmed by the Vatican. So anyway. I mean, I need a shirt that says a priest of the Vatican told me I was going to hell. You know what I mean? Like, I need a shirt that says that. New merch? The first merch of your one and only source?
He did not tell. Caroline just put the image in everybody's brain. He, as Caroline was leaving, he said, and go to hell.
It wasn't as I was leaving. It was when I was fully locked in there with
him. If you keep this act up.
He told me I was following the devil. And you want to know why? And you want to know what made him say this? Because what? I said, bless me, Father, for I have sinned. It's been a while since my last confession. And he said, a while? How long? And I said, couple of years. And the truth is, by the way, guys, that was a lie.
Hey guys, that's generous.
And then I got struck by lightning.
He could sense it was a lie.
And then he was like, he like choked on his holy water. He's like, oh, a couple of years? He goes, do you at least go to church at least once a week? Oh, great. Now I have to let him down again. No. And he's like, what could have made you stray from Jesus like this? What could have made you fall victim to the devil? And so, yeah. And he also told me that some of my loved ones were going to be trapped and they were depending on me to start going to church to get them out of purgatory. And I was just like, that's a lot of pressure, dude. I just got married. Like, I'm happy. And then he made me come out of the thing and look at him face to face. And I'm sobbing, by the way. And he puts on a saint card and goes, pop quiz, who's that?
What? I'm sorry. The concept of you walking out of the confessional crying and him pulling a Hey Name Five artist, Name Five songs.
Phoebe. First of all, he made me come out. I was like, I thought it was up to me. Like, I thought I got to choose how I talk to you about my sins.
Hey, everybody.
By the way,
everybody.
I never got to my sins.
I'm pretty sure it is.
Never got to my sins. The best part is, and he goes, okay, well, what are your sins? And I was like, yeah, I don't have any.
He's like, wait, can someone pull up a chair for me? Maybe an ottoman? and a notepad.
He's like, can anybody get me a coffee and something to hold my eyes open? I'm going to be here all night long.
Actually, I don't think I'll need anything to hold my eyes open. I'm going to be wide awake.
Yeah, I'm going to be wide fucking awake. I literally was like, I might as well have been Mary Catherine Gallagher and they're thrashing my body against the wall saying I'm not a slut. I might as well have been like, my confession would best be delivered as a monologue from a movie. Like, that's how he treated me. I didn't even get to my sins. We just got past me not going to church enough. And then he was like,
there can't be anything worse than that.
Have you killed somebody? He's like, how many bodies have you buried, you fucking freak? And that's when I said, I actually don't have any sins. Because fuck you. I'm not telling you now. And actually, that was the most real thing I ever did, is not be too scared and just tell. I said, I don't have any. I'm not telling you. Are you kidding me? But like,
crazy.
That is the craziest thing about that. When I tell some people, they're like, why the fuck would you like think you should go to confession at the Vatican? I'm like, I don't know, because I have Catholic guilt, because it was in the Vatican and I was like, this is an opportunity.
Maybe because like most Catholics are supposed to be welcoming and actually encouraging.
Exactly. Well, like, I'm like, every priest, even though I think it's actually criminal that they make like second graders brainstorm all their sins and then go like tell an old guy, I think that's crazy. Second graders haven't actually really commit any sins, by the way. Well, some have, but not me. I think that's crazy because it instills immediately, like, you should be scared. You know what I mean? Like, immediately they're like, fear is part of the equation here. Welcome to the Catholicism.
Yeah, well, it's like, if they're gonna do something like that, they need to do a better job at teaching why that's actually not it.
Right.
It's not about fear.
Well, and I know that it's a gift.
I'm saying to the people teaching it, they need to do a better job of explaining
it. I think second grade is too young. I really do. I think this should be something that you have to wait to do a little bit. Like, I don't think it's right. And I think that, like, yeah, that's the thing is, like, I was in the Vatican and I was like, okay, I literally remember thinking to myself, and like, Phoebe's like a good Christian. I don't think, you don't really claim Catholicism, right?
I don't go to a Catholic church, no.
But we were both confirmed. And like, I remember thinking to myself in the Vatican, we had just done this tour. It was like so amazing. I was so moved by it. And I was like, something just was like, I literally felt I was being called to like go to confession. I was like, I just got married. I'm on my honeymoon. Like, this would be the
perfect time. That's what's so upsetting about the story.
You know, to go do it. And I was like, if Phoebe was here, she would do it. And she would tell me to go for it. And like, because I felt a little imposter syndrome. I was like, maybe it's bad. But I was like, isn't that the point? That like, it's come as you are. Like, I should be able to just, like, that's why it's here. And the fact that it literally was so... Crazy. it resulted in me having this tale to tell. I was like, well, that's it. Like, and it's such a lost opportunity. Like, honestly.
Exactly. But, that's the issue so there.
I understand it was a gift. And I was like, that's actually like a perfect way to start my marriage, you know? And maybe if it had gone really well, I would have been
maybe
like.
Maybe you would have gone to mass.
You know, I might have been like, okay, like I would really like us to like reinvest in our faith. But unfortunately, it had the opposite effect. And that's really a shame. Anyway, so enough about that. But it is. It
well,
is
you never told
story.
Me what your name was.
Oh, Kiara. You don't like it?
Well, where the hell did that come from?
Saint
what,
book?
What saint? What did she do?
Let's see. I mean, I'm out of touch now, okay? I
you
definitely
know
knew
what
at the
I
time.
Picked?
Like Patrick? What did she
do? No, this is going to piss Caroline off so bad.
I know it. What, Francis?
Georgia.
You're such a fucking brown noser for that. And you know that. And you actually know it, Phoebe. Oh my God. Well, Saint Kiara, I know she's Irish. Hang on. Saint Kiara, an Irish virgin. Perfect. And that's why I chose her. I was like, Mom, I chose her because she's an Irish virgin.
I'm sure Mom will love that.
Her feast day is October 16th, Scorpio. She died in 680. She was, you could spell it however you want. You could, well, not however you want. You could spell it K-I-A-R-A
like
or C-H-I-A-R-A. And I wish I had known I could do C-H-I-A-R-A because I would have done that. Cause then I would have been C-C-C, but I did with the K. She was a holy woman and she founded a monastery in 7th century Ireland. So like, what's wrong with that? But Mom was mad at me because she was like, I know you just chose that because, like, it was just, like, you're just trying to be goofy or whatever, choosing Kiara as your name. I was like, what's goofy about that name? Literally, for my confirmation name, what's goofy? But it was, like, I wasn't really. But then I was like, oh, she's Irish. That's actually perfect. Okay, so back to the show. Thank you for going to church with us, you guys. Okay, so. Blah, blah, blah. Chuck is looking ridiculous is the point. He's dressed for Easter Sunday. He's dressed for Confession of the Vatican. And Nate, this is where, like, good guy Nate can't help but be it. He does not want Chuck to see Dan. He, like, even though he and Dan
it
are
is
both
like,
here to, like, vie for the same girl.
It's like you're outside. You're talking to a neighbor that you know your dog doesn't like. Or that riles your dog up.
Your dog comes to the door.
This is giving mom and dad okay. on a Sunday afternoon. Wait,
Mom's
just pause
walking
for a second.
The dogs.
Mom and dad on a Sunday afternoon. Mom doesn't have the dogs. Mom is outside taking like the trash out. Dad comes.
Mom
to
doesn't
the door.
Have the dogs. You fucking idiot.
Mom's talking to Mrs. Conaway, who has Coco with her, and or not even just like a person.
We better set this scene perfectly.
There doesn't even have to be another dog for this for the story to work and be. Be a metaphor for what's happening here with Chuck, Dan, and Nate. It's actually better that there's not another dog. So idiot dad comes to the door. Not that dad's
Whoa.
An idiot.
Whoa, this is actually the first episode dad's ever listened to when he heard that and he said, click. He's turning that off.
Dad comes to the door and somehow both dogs get out. And
wait,
mom is
wait,
suddenly.
Just got text from dad. Your podcast is garbage, Phoebe. Anyway, what?
Dad isn't looking at where the dogs are. Dad opens the door to come say hi to Mrs. Conaway, but is holding the door open and the red door is open.
Here's
and
it.
the dog's Tasmanian devil comes running out. And now suddenly mom is Nate Archibald in the situation having to hold Chuck from Mrs. Conaway.
Not Chuck.
Don't
say Chuck because people are going to think my dog is in here because we mentioned dogs.
No, but I'm saying
Chuck
like
Bass, she means.
In this situation, Sid is Chuck. Mom is Nate.
Okay.
Mrs. Conaway is Dan.
The amount of saliva I have to generate and hold in my mouth so that I can gargle it around
like,
to make that noise.
I don't even think Sid's doing that. Like, I think Sid is able to just, like, move his jaw around in a way that makes that
it's
noise.
It's as though he's, like, foaming at the mouth. It sounds like what you imagine a rabid dog foaming at the mouth would sound like.
The other night when me, Anthony, and Caroline were up and Sid comes.
We were up, girl.
Sid comes into the sunroom after he's put himself to bed and he's ready for all of us to go to bed. And he comes in and he gets up on the couch, looks at us and is like, all right, he's the rabbit with the clock. He's like,
yes, he is.
It's time for fucking bed.
Did you just say talk tick?
Did I? No way.
And then he's like, talk tick.
No way.
You said that? I will never let you
know. No, he's like hitting his clock, I think is what I said.
Okay. So Dan is like, oh, good, Chuck's here. Let's fucking go again. What is it, your hotel? And Nate goes, actually, it is. And then Chuck is like, why don't you get on the curb with the rest of the trash? And Dan's like, hey, trash? I live in Brooklyn, okay, not the Ozarks. And I'm like, don't put that on the Ozarks either.
And he goes, no offense to the Ozarks, says it to himself.
Okay, Dan, you will never be as good as Nate. Stop trying. So then Nate talks Chuck down. Dan goes, your black eye looks a little lonely. Again, he's addicted to punching people in the face now. Like, and Dan, Nate, and Chuck leave.
I bet Nate is like, wait, why am I even helping you if you're going to say shit like that?
Yeah, exactly. Nate turns around and is like, wait a minute, let's fucking tag team this motherfucker. Yeah, exactly. So Blair is trying on the blue dress her mother left for her for brunch. And Jenny is just, I mean, chill. Girl,
this is Hannah Marin blue. They love putting Hannah Marin in this blue.
Yeah.
Like a super and royal, bright.
Jenny's
blue.
Like, oh, that is the most beautiful dress I've ever seen in person. Oh my God, Blair, you look beautiful. Like, Jenny can't get over it. And Blair's like, it's fucking average. Takes it off, full lingerie underneath. Like, okay. I was like, and this is how a 16-year-old girl dresses to go to bed.
It kills me. And that's what Caroline believed. Under Caroline's junior year, first day of school outfit, full Blair Waldorf
might as well. I'm wearing underwear with ruffles that are like my romper stick out, but okay. It's what you're supposed to wear. What I wore to school that day? Yeah.
I thought that was like a
first last time I ever wore a romper. I don't know what's worse, because here's the thing. With my caboose, with my big ass butt, the romper was going right up there, giving bathing suit. Like, for really skinny girls, a romper might be great. Might be a great solution. Might be less slutty. Not for me. Not for girls. Not for anyone that's got baby got back.
Oh my God.
Okay, anyway. I got a little fat butt. My shawty told me that he like that shit.
I do love the concept that Blair, who is still a virgin and like is scared to have sex, is walking around her house in full lingerie.
Well, is that not exactly the irony of it? She's signaling so much that she's something that she's not. Just not. She's also got dolls on the bed for some fucking reason.
But then she brings that up later to Serena that like sex actually matters
to some of us, which is but I think she, like, with Serena's the one person she's never been able to be that person with. Like, Serena sees right through who Blair is. So Blair's got dolls. Jenny picks up a Cabbage Patch Kid doll, and Jenny commits the ultimate sin. She goes, oh my God, my brother used to have one of these. His name was Cedric. And Blair's like, your brother's name is Cedric? And she goes, no, his Cabbage Patch doll's name was Cedric. My brother's name is Dan. And this is when Blair realizes, oh my God, your brother went out with Serena last night. She fully can't hide that she's shocked. And then she's like, opportunity. Are you friends with Serena? And Jenny, well, I don't have a problem with her. But if someone did have a problem with her, I wouldn't have a problem with that either. And Blair's like, okay, cool. Well, actually, why don't you have the dress that I just insulted? Why don't you actually take that? It would look much better on you. You've got a Hannah Marin vibe to you. And I'm sure you'll find some way to repay me. And Jenny thanks her. And she's like, thanks for the dress and the other thing. I'm like, Blair didn't really give you any real advice with Chuck. But Blair goes, look, if you want to be part of this world, Jenny, people will talk. And you need to decide if all of this is worth it. Ooh.
Yikes. We go to the palace. Right, so
Dan go the fuck home. Dan, go to Brooklyn Challenge.
He's tracing the circular stone steppings in the courtyard at the palace. And Serena and him literally run into each other as he's embarrassing the fuck out of himself.
I have to say, too, we didn't mention Serena's outfit, but this is one of her, like, iconic, what the fuck are you wearing? It gives, like, something. It's in the spirit of something I would have worn in college and mom would have hated. I wouldn't have worn exactly this, but it was like the idea of nothing matching couldn't be chicer to me. She's wearing like Daisy Duke jean shorts, over the knee black suede boots, a like peplum style white floral like tank with a brown cardigan over it, hair super messy, humongous Hannah Marin style bag.
Yes.
Crazy. Dan goes, I was in the neighborhood. Give or take 70 blocks. And she's like, oh, this is what I love about you, you fucking dork. And they apologize. And, like, they're going to go get food or something until Lily Vander Woodson walks up and overhears Serena say
goes,
she's
I'm starving.
Good. It's time for brunch. Ooh. Dan's still here. So
Dan is
Serena,
the key to get Serena to brunch. Lily soon realizes. So that means three musketeers, three amigos. Lily Vander Woodson, Serena Vander Woodson, and Dan Humphrey.
Humphrey?
I was hoping you would just fucking let it go.
I never will. Joss Stone starts playing, and I think it's a good time to mention that our mom had a real obsession with Joss Stone growing up. I need a little loving at least 2 times a day. So when you call me boy, better run out of way.
When mom would like go through her phases with music, it would be so funny.
Who's addicted to their man? I love that part. If I could do the things I want to you, you'd be changing all your plans. I won't say now. I won't say yeah. I won't say so. I know what you're thinking, babe. So tell me, babe. Tell me how you feel. That is mom's favorite song of this time. And mom used to go, goo. Mom used to go, goo. You sound like Joss Stone. I need a little loving. Every single note has that. Anyway, here we get the people painted as statues. We're getting the lay of the land at brunch. Everyone's wearing like white and yellow. I remember loving Serena's dress here. She's wearing like this white, like, I want to call this a pinafore style, but like the truth is, what is a pinafore style?
We don't have any clothes in that hotel room that belonged to Mr. Eric.
That Dan could have put Dan in. Well, he's in his nicest brown jacket, so.
Yeah, brown.
No, but this is what Serena's like, Mom, and don't even think about touching a hair on his head. He's perfect. That's what she said to Lily. Don't even. I love this about him. I love what he looks like. Dan, you're perfect. I'll wear this stupid thing, but I'm not ironing it. No way. I'm not ironing this, Mom. I like it wrinkled. Okay, we're imperfectly perfect. That's what she says to Dan. But I did love her dress. It's like this white dress with sequins and floral embroidery. Blair's horrified. And Gossip Girl says, looks like Chuck and Blair showed up with quite an appetite for destruction, that is.
And then they walk right into the fucking camera. And then the music starts to warp. And like, it's not even like they split the camera. Penn Badgley walks straight into the camera and stops.
Yes.
And they didn't like edit it in a way where I think it looks smooth at all.
Okay, well, I'm writing a letter. We're back at the loft. Rufus is playing guitar, and okay, it's funny that Dad was like Daddy. Well, I hate to say this because Daddy Hastings is like one of the most evil characters in Pretty Little Liars. That we were always like, Daddy Hastings is on his Chris Connell vibe. Sorry, Rufus is Dad's other half.
Yes,
inside every man are two wolves:
Peter Hastings and Rufus Humphrey.
Meanwhile, Wayne Fields is actually in the military, and so was our father, and we haven't even given, we're like, yeah, nah.
There's a little bit of Wayne in him, but Wayne was way too serious. Wayne was way too, like,
yeah.
Batman, Bruce Wayne vibes. Wayne, he'd be like, Emily, there is nothing I wouldn't do for you.
Yeah,
and I hope, like, you
Dad,
know that.
As much as Dad might mean that might be true. I've never heard him say it.
Not in that tone.
No, but also, Wayne's, like, too, like, my little girl. Like, Dad's like, you're not a little girl, okay? You're a full-grown adult woman. And you have a job. And you need to be serious. It's time to get serious. Less of a Marilyn, more of a Jackie. Okay? Sort of. Never mind, just kidding. You know, it was so cute. Came down with my no makeup on Thanksgiving. Dad goes, you still look pretty.
You still look pretty is so cute.
Wasn't that so cute? Did you hear
that? Wait, guys, nothing beats KK at dinner. Looking, it's clear she's been thinking this all night. Caroline looks at her. They have like a sweet little moment. And KK goes,
wait, can I just say it? Because I'm going to get this delivery perfect with what she said, because it's crucial. Well, I had taken a nap. I left my makeup on because I was like, it's more work than it's worth to like take the makeup off, because then I'm going to want to redo it, you know? So it's just like, I'm not doing it. Whatever. Everyone knows what I was doing today.
Except KK.
Except apparently KK, who I'd like shown photos to. So KK and I are like sitting next to each other at Thanksgiving, and I look over at her and like we have a sweet little moment, and I was like, I love you, KK. And she goes, oh, I love you too. So, but what's going on with your face? I was like, oh, my gnome mushroom makeup. She goes, do we need to take you to the doctor? It had like faded, so it literally looks like I just had like red rash with like white spots. She was like, holy shit. KK is like getting up the courage to mention to me that like there's something wrong with my face. And so, but what's going on with your face? so funny. Anyway, okay. Jenny comes home with a dress. She's like, oh, this was a thank you gift from Blair. It's an Eleanor Waldorf. And then she goes, hey, is the farmer's market open?
No, she walks in. She goes, hey, how's the song coming? And Rufus goes, I think I need more coffee.
More coffee. Need more coffee. Need more coffee. These fingers aren't moving as fast as they used to. they're going to go to the
And then they have
market.
This whole comment about the dress, and she's like, this is why you don't wear dresses. And he goes, among other reasons. And then she brings up the farmer's market, and he's like, yes. I thought you didn't want to go anywhere with
your loser
your
dad.
Old dad.
You're not too embarrassed to be seen with me? And the 90s are so back. So we're at the buffet line. Breakfast looks fucking amazing. Nate gets Serena's attention across the room.
Wait,
and is like,
Dan
let's
goes,
go talk.
I don't know about his ability to raise children.
Yeah, child rearing.
But Bart knows brunch.
And it's like, hello, this is the Upper East Side. Serena looks at Dan
brunch.
And might as well say, I have to go. And she makes an excuse to go talk to Nate. Chuck is staring at Dan. They have like a stare off. And we finally meet Bart Bass, and he honestly is giving, like, maybe a dad who cares about his son at least a smidge in this scene.
Yeah,
because he asks Chuck about his black eyes, like, are you in trouble? Chuck's like, only of my own making. Again, thank you for acknowledging.
Yeah,
this to yourself.
But that pisses Bart off.
He goes, I do all of this for you. This party is for you. I want you to network. I want you to meet people so maybe you can fucking do something with your life and make some change. And we have a hilarious little moment here where Chuck is like, okay, blah, blah, blah. And then he says something about rehiring the statue girls. They've been hired before. This is not their first gig with the Bass family.
Yeah. Because he's like, why do you think I do all of this? And Chuck goes, oh, well, I just thought it was for the open bar and rehiring the statue girls.
Yeah, I love that little, it's like a hilarious little thing. Like, these are their favorite thing to get for brunch, I guess. Every brunch, these women are here.
And Bart says,
lose a scotch. It's barely noon. And I wrote here, too, I thought brunch was at 2. Maybe he means it's, like, barely past noon. And, like,
maybe
that's even too early to drink. But I'm like, it's fucking brunch. The
maybe
scotch
say,
is
like,
a little much.
Yeah.
Like,
I'm sorry. I don't think we need any brown liquor.
Agreed.
before the sun goes
the
down.
Brown liquor.
Unless you're Taylor.
Dan Humphrey goes like this. I can make deals with the devil because my dick's bigger.
I did almost, and I hate this term, so I didn't write it in my notes, but I almost wrote like Nate and Dan's whole thing is like a dick measuring contest.
Totally. Until they become besties. So Nate and Serena are talking like right outside the brunch. And Nate's like, I need to talk to you. Serena goes, actually, I need to talk to you, which means you can listen. Okay.
Fucking loser.
Oh, my God. He hands her like an old fashioned, like secret garden-esque key. And he's like, the key to Chuck's suite. Just to talk.
Hey, just to say, it doesn't
insane.
Look that old. It's
well,
just
it doesn't
not a
look
key
like
card.
A hotel room key at all.
It looks
like it's
the key
to
my
to
house.
A wrought iron. No, it doesn't.
Is it does because
like
it's
prop
a
key.
No, it was like a metal key, like a silver key.
Yeah, like one of those old timey ones. Yes, Phoebe.
No,
yes.
It wasn't because the same key that Chuck hands to Blair, it's like a house key.
Not the one that Nate has. I'm telling you, I will prove it to you. I'm telling you.
Okay.
So back in the brunch, now Phoebe's seething again. Great. I just got
no,
her on a good
I'm not.
Carrie
just actually made that up. That I'm seething.
Okay. I know I'm a whore, but I am not a liar. And you know that.
But you can't be one without the other.
So true. So the Captain Archibald, is complimenting Blair, asking about her mom, of course. He wants to talk business. And Nate comes up to, like, have a sweet moment, get Blair a refill, kiss her head. And Captain follows Nate. He's like, I'm really pleased with the Blair situation. Introduces Nate to somebody who's, like, got a good, you know, summer internship thing going. At which point, Chuck comes to Blair. And Blair's like, I'm fucking pissed at Serena. I told her not to come here. And he goes, oh, are you worried about Nate? And this is where Blair finds out that Chuck knows as well. So who
know
else fucking
everything.
Knows? And Chuck goes,
I know,
you know
everything.
You know what you need to do to get his attention. And then Chuck gives Blair a key to his suite. He goes, here's the key to my suite, Nate's heart and your eternal happiness. I'm honored to play a small role in your deflowering. Okie dokie. So Blair goes to get Nate. She's like, what are you doing right now? How about me?
She's been all of these lines, like the line last episode where she's like, I'm ready to do this. It here
yes,
now.
Yes,
I'm like, okay,
yes.
These are lines that Blair
no,
is saying to
no.
herself. This is yes. her sort of bathroom mirror being like, what's
exactly.
the hottest thing I could say?
Practicing in her lingerie. So they're like making out hot and heavy in the elevator. I'm like, Nate, how can you even focus on kissing Blair when
you
know
what
could be waiting in the suite?
I'm also like, how have you not realized what room you're going to?
Yeah. Oh, right. Because he doesn't know. He's like, where are we going? Where do you think? They back into Chuck's suite. Serena goes, Nate, if I'm Serena, I'm just getting in the fucking closet.
That was a really good Serena.
Thank you so much. I will
don't try to do it
better.
Again. Right, quite yet.
Don't worry. I'm not going to. Don't embarrass yourself, please. God. Jesus. Why didn't Serena just hide in the closet? Go behind the curtains.
No, literally. Like, I'm like, sorry, Serena, you did that on purpose. You know you heard that door open and immediate saliva being swapped.
You looked
get
and
in the
you
closet.
Saw the back of Blair's head. You knew, like,
you
what?
You fucking idiot.
And so then we get a Gossip Girl quote. Spotted. N and B hot and heavy in the halls of the Palace Hotel. Only to find S already waiting. Sparks were flying for sure. But will it be a three-way or D-Day? There we go. So Serena is mad because Nate told Blair that he wouldn't speak to Serena. And Serena's like, you said that? Like, yeah, Serena, he did. Girl. To his girlfriend after she found out he cheated on her with you? Of course that's what he said. And Serena's like all mad about it. And then Nate admits, okay, fine. I asked Serena to meet me here, which makes Blair fucking furious. Serena goes, okay, well, I'll let you get back to your quickie, which sends Blair into orbit. No, she goes, not a quickie. Sex is actually a big deal to some of us. And just Serena goes, I can tell Chuck's bed is very special and classy. And Blair goes, oh, like you. And Blair
that was not one of Blair's better lines in that exchange.
No, she starts actually seeing, you just see like the scheming Blair take over her body. Oh, like you? I'll bet your new friend Dan would love to hear how classy you are. And she like runs out of the fucking room. As Serena's like, she wouldn't. Of course, again. Of course she would.
Is it too much to say this is kind of like the standoff between Serena and Blair is low-key giving Caroline and Kelly of another time?
Okay, are you outing our biggest fight ever right now?
I think it makes you guys more likable and relatable.
Everyone knows that Kelly and I had a huge fight once because she didn't tell me the truth about her boyfriend.
Guys, they went from Caroline visiting Kelly at Starbucks and getting literal minions drawn on her Starbucks cups to me not hearing the name Kelly for years.
A year.
It felt like years.
It took a year for Kelly to apologize to me. And then guess what? Back to normal. Because here's the deal. If you can just admit that you're wrong and apologize, I will come around. But you do have to do that. Sorry. That's what was crazy. And like, I'm not mad at her anymore. So I'm going to tell the story and it's going to sound like I'm like mad. Obviously, we laugh about this now. But she had a boyfriend and I was talking to her every day and I was like, are you like, what's going on with you and this guy? Because you're like posting, they're like going to dances together. They're going on vacations together. They're posting all these photos together. I was like, what's up? Like, are you dating him? She's like, oh my God, no. We're just friends. And I was like, okay. And so like, I had one of my friends being like, are they dating? I'm like, no, I would know. They are just friends. Like, I mean, for months, like crazy. 6 months. And then I found out they were dating and I'm pretty sure I called Kelly and left her like a nasty voicemail where I was like, go
I do think that's
fuck
what happened.
Yourself. You lied crazy. To me for months. Like I came for her and then her
boyfriend
see
where the comparisons
sent me
are coming?
The meanest text that anyone's ever sent me to this day. He said, I'm actually shocked at how terrible of a person you can actually be. It was one of the things in the line. Oh my God, it was crazy. And I was like, hey, she brought this on herself. And then guess what? A year later, that didn't work out. And Kelly was like, I just need my best friend. I had to look at Yahoo Answers for way too much stuff. And I was like, yeah, didn't have to. So now it's just like a great story for us.
Crazy.
It's just like we're stronger for it. We're better for it. But I've had that happen with multiple of my friends and I don't regret it. We've always come back stronger. It's just called like you got to show someone you mean fucking business sometimes.
Right.
And I'll do it to you.
Oh.
Unless you make me. So anyway, Shut Up and Drive starts playing again. Blair is running out of the hotel to tell Dan. Serena and Nate are running after her. Serena's yelling at Nate because he told Blair. And he's like, well, what was
Wait,
I supposed
we,
to lie?
We mentioned that Blair said everything.
Yeah. And Super Serena weird. Goes, well, no, we're not there yet. And Serena goes, we're lying not, is okay oh. if the truth will hurt someone.
Yeah.
And of course you would think that, Serena. And that sounds just like something you would say.
So Dan goes outside for some freaking air and sees Lily and Bart talking about, like, if they're going to go public. And this is classic man. Bart's like, I know you don't want to go public. And Lily's like, no, I don't want to go public if I know you're still traipsing around this city fucking other women.
with a harem of 25 year olds. So as soon as you shut that down,
yeah. So as soon as you shut that down, yeah, we can go public.
Yeah. So then she turns, she locks eyes with Dan. She's like, God fucking damn it. She comes in, she goes, Dan.
I do think we overreacted just a bit. You don't know how much he heard. You don't know anything.
I do too. But she does say, I mean, this is the only thing that I think. She should have just left it to this one line. I don't know what you think you heard, but Serena doesn't know. That's like all she needed to say.
I agree. It didn't need to be this huge
thing. And Dan goes, neither do I. I don't know anything either. Which is when Blair runs into Dan. He goes, where's Serena? And Blair is just foaming at the mouth to tell him. And all of them then get out here. Nate, Serena, Dan, Blair. Chuck even comes out here. Serena's begging Blair not to tell him. And Chuck actually, I feel like, is the one who like really lets the cat. He goes, stop trying to pretend you're a good girl. So you slept with the best friend's boyfriend. I kind of admire you for it.
I do love the difference between Pretty Little Liars and this, and that like Caroline has to do a voice for every single character in this show.
Everyone, yeah, but my joke, how was I not gonna say, stop trying to pretend you're a good girl? How was I not gonna do that? Like, hello? I think we're all better for it. And then Blair goes, then she ran away and lied about it. I just thought you should know before you fall head over heels for your perfect girl and her perfect world and end up stuck with nothing but your Cabbage Patch Kid. And it's like, wait, what?
You talked to Jenny?
How could she do this? And then Chuck, this is crazy. Chuck goes, yeah, speaking of little Jay, she doesn't say that, but he goes, speaking of her, we have some unfinished business. Holy shit. And then he calls Jenny. Oh, he goes, speaking of sluts, your sister and I have some unfinished business. Fucking crazy. He did deserve the second punch he gets from Dan.
Yeah. But I do just think
Blair,
hey, Dan,
the smile on
Dan,
Blair's face. She's like,
if you, Dan, if you want to be in Serena's world, I think we got to learn to punch with our words, not our fists.
No, exactly. These people are very good at punching with their words because they love that you did this, Dan. You did exactly what honestly Chuck and Blair wanted you to do.
You've confirmed to everybody in the room that you're not fit Brooklyn for this trash. World.
You're garbage. Trash, my guy.
Just like Chuck said earlier, go wait outside on the curb with the rest of the challenge.
Something. I thought I could smell the Brooklyn Bridge wood on you. So then the entire brunch gets silent. Dan looks around, he goes, by the way, not even invited, by the way, not dressed. He goes, Chuck is a jerk, but it's my fault and I'm leaving. Like, this is Chuck's brunch. Crazy. And Serena's like, I'll go with you. And he's like, no, slut. Stay here.
Okay, I don't talk to sluts. In fact, I'm making my sister move out. I'm already on the phone with my dad.
Yeah.
Now like, that I know she's a slut.
Don't touch my sister. I don't want her to get what you're carrying. Slut. And then it's just Chuck and Serena. And he's like, well, my suite's available. Oh, my God. And this, I hate this Gossip Girl line. And I know you're going to hate it, too. She goes, some might call this a fuster cluck. But on the Upper East Side, we call it a Sunday afternoon. Fuster cluck.
Yeah, I hate that. It's giving good place.
Okay, I'm getting it tattooed. I'm voluntarily getting it tattooed.
Right. Just in the Gossip Girl font.
Of course.
So Shut Up and Drive starts playing again, and Serena follows Dan now and apologizes, and she's like, Dan, this world is crazy.
Crazy.
And Dan goes,
this world, it's crazy.
It's that Jess. It's the last line of Jesse the TV show, when Jesse says,
"Sorry, I'm not familiar."
Okay, because it's a TikTok sound. She goes, "Enjoy it. It feels like a party every day."
And that's what this is.
No, that's from Radio Rebel.
Oh, well, it's all but the this, same. It's all
she's
the same
like
to me.
She's like talking to the new nanny or something, and that's the line from the theme song. Feels like a party every day. And then Jesse, the very last episode, goes,
feels
it.
Like a party every day.
Yeah.
Okay, that came back to me. And
it.
Jesse.
It feels like a party.
What was it having the lead of the show sing the theme song always?
I kind of loved that.
Everything is not what it seems.
I loved that song.
That was my fave, except for you get the best of both worlds, obviously.
I liked that one. I did not like The Sweet Life.
This is the sweet life.
That's a boy.
The sweet life. Why didn't they have the mom do it? She was a singer.
She was a singer.
She was famously a singer. What other shows even were there? Because it's fill out the future. 20 seconds of dreaming, man.
Dude.
Okay, that's a raven. It's so Wait,
did
raven.
Allie sing the
It's the future I can see.
I love what? That one. Did Allie or AJ sing the Fool of a Future?
No, it was a man.
When Sexist. I went to the Allie and AJ concert in Pittsburgh, I saw two girls dressed as the cowbells.
That's good.
It was so cute.
Allie and AJ, sorry, I liked your first potential breakup song better.
Me too, but their new music is really good.
That song, I was like, what a rush. This is real music.
When Imagine hearing it live for the first time.
I couldn't believe that we got the privilege of hearing it on Disney Channel too. Crazy. It was like when there was a like really good Disney intense. Channel that played song that played as a commercial. It was like, this is epic. When it was like the music video instead of a commercial.
It was
like,
low key MTV for kids.
What was that one that I love? Into the rush now, you don't have to know how. No, what?
Yeah, that's one of their songs. I know, but
there's another one I really liked. Anyway, whatever. It doesn't matter right now. We're working.
So she's like, this world is crazy, well, Dan.
And
Dan
every time the camera goes to her, her hair is like in a different position. This world.
That's like if SNL did a Gossip yes. Girl sketch, and that's what Serena would do. Her hair would be in a different position every scene. And
I love Dan.
Says, yeah, and you're it in is. It.
You're part of it.
Why is this giving Dorchester dad? Dad talking
and you're
to
a part of it.
Dad talking it. To he's in Garby Park. He's talking to a girl who like wants
spoiled.
Wait, imagine it's actually roles are reversed. Dad's the Serena. Dan is
he
some
goes,
other girl.
Spoiled.
No,
crazy.
And
and you're part of it. Oh, what are you fucking owl?
Guys, can someone go back and count how many times Caroline has said that in an episode of the podcast?
Oh, what are you fucking owl?
Oh my god.
That line was improvised.
I know, it's crazy. And also I do
She
love
was 22
because that's the first American accent she ever did. Every American accent she does
has a little bit of
always
it.
Will have a little bit of a Boston.
I couldn't believe how good that accent was. And when I found out that she was 22 years old and Australian, I was like, that cannot
Well, you
be
know,
true.
I mean, I do think soaps are the best training ground for actors because that's where she learned to do her one single tear, and that really helped her in Babylon.
True. It's a lot easier to be big and pull it back than to get like a lot out of someone. And I feel like soaps, it's like a lot. So I feel like if you can do soap acting, we can scale you back. But like you really do, if you're good, well, there are some really bad soaps. I'll never forget this one soap I saw. I was at Nana's house and Nana loved soaps and she had it on the kitchen TV. And this girl like killed someone. And I remember her mom was in her room looking around for something and she opened her jewelry box and she found wrapped up in paper towel like this horrible looking like wire and it had blood on it and I was like, oh my god, she made a makeshift knife and killed him with that, and I never forgot it. So anyway,
wait, I thought you were about to talk about the acting prowess of the person.
No,
in the scene.
No,
that was
just
the
story
scene.
really stuck with me. So Dan, when she says, he says, and you're part of it, she goes, and you didn't know that? He thought His mistake, he thought she was different. And she goes, well, I'm sorry, I'm not who you thought I was. I'm trying to change. And if you can't accept that, you're not who I thought you were. Both made mistakes. And then she walks away. He walks away. He turns. He walks away. She turns. Sees him walking away. Oh, it's over.
It's over. Rufus and Jenny come home. Dan's sitting all alone. And he's like, yeah, I found her. Found her and I lost her.
And Jenny's like, and I found her too. Oh, wait, shoot, we're sad. I meant I found the clover hydrangeas. She walks in with green hydrangeas. Oh, that's why you wanted to go to the farmer's market, little Jay.
And also because you found out that these aren't in your budget, but they might be in Rufus's.
In Rufus's. Yeah, the
90s
are back after
all. Your family
all.
Than I was anticipating.
So true. By the way, hey, didn't see your name on the 30 under 30. You okay?
Didn't see yours either, you bitch.
You know, I'm 30, so I can't be on it, famously. And you know what? What a relief. I am so glad I have that off my chest.
Role model, the day that he got on it, he started posting on his story, like, me after making Forbes 30 under 30, and it's like a businessman walking into a meteor, like, a clip, like stock images of, like, really expensive watches. It's like my morning now that I'm on Forbes 30 under 30.
Unfortunately, I did personally know somebody on that list.
What?
Yeah. She's 1 year younger than me, I guess. Yep.
I guess.
I'll tell you who it is offline.
Well, hey, just remember, you have to submit yourself.
Well, that is really good to hear. I forgot that, and it's a good reminder.
Someone has to submit you, I guess. I don't know. Anyway.
So he tells them he lost Serena. It's for
Her
the best.
World
Her
just
world
just isn't for me.
It's not for me. And Rufus is like, still, and I know it. And then he's like, hey, Jenny, by the way, and then he punches her. I'm like, okay, you're obsessed with punching. Did you tell Blair about this? This is funny. Go ahead.
Never mind. I was just going to say, like, there's a world in which we find out that the Humphreys and the Montgomerys are related. They're cousins.
Absolutely a world where Arya comes to Thanksgiving. And she's like, wait, I think I love the big city.
And she loves Vanessa.
Oh.
She and Vanessa are thick as thieves when they're
like,
in town
together.
She's
like, can I live with you this summer? Yeah, no, for sure. This is funny, though, because Dan is like, did you tell Blair about Cedric? And Jenny's like, it might have come up. And he goes, Jenny, you can't trust these people. You'll tell anyone
as
anything. I'm like, okay,
Jenny told Blair something like so intense about
Jenny,
Dan.
Jenny, you can't trust these people. I'm like, okay. And then he compliments the flowers and she goes, thanks.
They're hydrangeas.
They're hydrangeas. Oh.
I think next episode is I'm Your Sister. It's what I do.
I fucking hope so, because I can't wait, longer.
It's early, right?
It has to be, because Little J doesn't say Little J for too much longer. So Nate and Blair laying in her bed. We get a lot of scenes in the show of Blair laying in bed with a man like this.
And Nate says, look, girl. Look, girl.
Girly,
we either
girly.
Try to move on or we end it.
Or we're done. And he's like, crossing his fingers behind her back. Ooh.
But not so fast. She grabs his hand.
Yeah, he puts his hand on her shoulder and she grabs his hand and we see her beautiful ruby ring and her pearls, of course. Dan climbs onto his fire escape and we get our final Gossip Girl moment. And it goes like this. Well, Serena's mystery man is a mystery no longer. His name is... Oh, who cares? Now that he and S are over, so are his 15 minutes. But his sister Jenny was spotted with a new dress gifted from B herself. Everyone knows an Eleanor original is the uniform of Blair's private army. But will Jay be a loyal soldier, or will she side with S's rebel forces? As for S herself, we hear that she left today's brunch with no friends, no boy, and nowhere left to run.
That was turning into Moira Rose there at the end.
And isn't it always? During this, we see Jenny putting on the blue dress that Blair gave her and staring at herself in the mirror, pulling her hair up, quite pleased with her appearance. And she should be. She's stunning. And Serena's just walking down the road, deleting
and
pictures
that
of her
song
and Blair.
Is playing.
Give me something to believe. Because I am living just to breathe. She takes her phone.
She's like looking at pictures of all her friends.
Throws it in the trash.
Crazy.
Throwing her phone in the trash and you don't even have a reaction right now? She threw her cellular device basically in the ocean.
Yes, she did.
This is the equivalent of that. Modern
equivalent.
This
is one of the most iconic scenes in the whole show.
She's like,
she's in like slow-mo.
Yeah, she is. And then we get, so give me something more. And Dan is sitting on his fire escape still and it goes, looks like the ultimate insider has become a total outsider. It's your move, Serena. And you know who'll be watching. Gossip Girl. Chills.
Guys, that I guess is how we're going to be ending up.
Well, that's what the music does. So, and I haven't memorized because I used to fall asleep when I had my broken leg. And I owned all of Gossip Girl on DVDs. And I would play it. And then I would fall asleep. And then I'd hear...
Well, do you remember when we had like Pretty Little Liars on DVD and when we went to Charleston? I think we probably told the story. We stayed in that condo and we would watch the box set of
that. My senior year of high school when I applied to the college Charleston.
Those beautiful beds.
That wasn't Everyone Got the Flu.
Yes, it was terrible.
But we were watching that and I was listening only to that music and I was like on that little balcony we had in the hotel room like, oh, it just takes a minute for my world to come crumbling down. I was like, am I going to go to school here? My world's coming crumbling down. All right. Would you like to read the synopsis for next week?
Let me pull it up.
Yeah, do that. Yeah, do that. By the way, I had a big lady in a movie moment yesterday because as I was stringing lights on my front porch, I was like, God, these are getting everywhere. And I wrapped them around my neck like a scarf. And I was like,
no, you didn't.
Okay, lady in a movie. And then after I like practically froze my fingers to the freaking bone, wrapping it all around my house, guess what happened? I accidentally ripped the wire in half. And so now none of them will work. Yeah, that happened. It was bad. And I'm laughing now, but I wasn't laughing yesterday. Okay, go on.
My gosh. Poison Ivy. It's Ivy Week, and competition for the best placements is fierce. Blair discovers a juicy secret about Serena and plans to use it to her best advantage. Elsewhere, Dan is sure that his future at Dartmouth lies in landing the coveted usher position with the rep, and is shocked when a disinterested Nate gets the job, while Jenny gets closer to Serena's younger brother. So this is this is a particularly bad episode for Blair.
Wait, not yet. I don't think it is it?
They're at that brunch at the end. That's because that's a secret she thinks she's found out about Serena, is about Eric.
Okay, maybe, yeah. I do love this episode. It begins with G. L.
Yeah.
A. M. I was that's like, why is a choir like this?
That's the thing they play on.
On Netflix.
Netflix. Yeah, so but good. Also this is the field hockey episode.
Up in the sky. Oh my God, I love that. Also talked to my friend Tara about that a little bit. Okay, anyway. All right, you guys. So that's the app. Hope you're enjoying this ride that we're on together. Next week, we are going to have our first Tuesday Gossip Girl episode. Very exciting. So you're going to hear us diving into the pop culture, like, moments of these first two episodes. Ones that were referenced in the episode, but also the ones that were just going, like, what was going on during this time in the world that could have influenced this. We're going to go through the songs that were played. We're going to go through the fashion. We're going to talk about more things we want to dive into with the show. If you have anything you want to hear us talk about, anything you want us to, like, chat about that's topical in these first two episodes, send us a little note, drop us a line, we'll include it. And if we're on your Spotify Wrap, you better freaking post it. Bitch, you better freaking post it. We want to see it.
We should have made a video.
I know, we should have. Taylor made one, why didn't we? We did over 5 million minutes of listening, which is low-key crazy.
I got one from Pod Save America. Yeah, so
one of my friends has a really, really popular Bravo podcast. I'll just tell you what it is. Bravo by Betches. That's my friend Dylan, who is the host. And he's like a big podcast. He's big Bravo names. And he posted that he had like 9.2 million minutes of listening. And I was like, wait a minute. Not ours being like not that far off from that.
Yeah.
I mean, low key. I was like, bingo. Oh God, that's so many. And then I was like, wait. Like over half of that, and we don't have Bravo stars on here, so heller. All right, anyway, guys, hope you're enjoying. Thank you so much for listening. We would love to see you on Tuesday. If you're missing pop culture, head over to the Patreon. It's all there, babes. Thank you for listening to your one and only source today. Officially, you can find us on Instagram at the handle at your one and only source pod. Okay, that is our new pod name. If you want to listen to the Pretty Little Podcast episodes, they're still going to have the Pretty Little Podcast title. They're still all available, and they will have the same cover art that it's always had. So it'll be easy for you to find it. But you don't need to worry about like resubscribing to a new podcast. We're still doing it under the same umbrella. So you can find us there. And over the next couple weeks, I'll be switching everything over. But you know, I'm not good at admin. So it might be a little bit of a bumpy ride, but our handle will be changing. That's how you're going to find us. Our cover art is changing, but it's the same old us. And we love you guys. And it would really mean a lot if you wouldn't mind leaving us a review for our new podcast. Go give us 5 stars, especially on Apple Podcasts. It really helps us out. If you've already given us a review, maybe go refresh it and just let everyone know that your one and only source is just as good, if not better, than the Pretty Little Podcast. And they shouldn't miss it either. Okay. All right, guys. Love you so much. Thank you for listening. And we will see you next week.
And splat.
And splat.